This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys. We are back on Dr. Dahlia's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DR-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOCDALI. So, being a doctor, I'm kind of in a very unique spot here because whenever you talk about infectious disease or a pathogen or whatever, you know, we have to be all doctorly. Well, you know, we have to protect the public and, you know, we have to look at our viral load and check our antibodies and, you know, get the epidemiologists involved. And, you know, we all start getting all doctorly. And by the way, our voice lowers. If you ever notice, whenever I start talking medical, I just lower my voice. I don't know. Maybe it's because it makes me sound smarter. Yeah, well, you know, we have to look at the end value of the study and, you know, check the sensitivity and specificity of the... I'll start to go low because I'm just trying to sound intelligent because I might not know what I'm talking about, okay? But when I talk fluff, you know, when I talk sports, I'm like, oh my God! You know, I raise my voice and I inflect more. And I'm not being asked by as many people about, okay, you know, is coronavirus scary? Should we go back to work? Should we this? I'm asked more about, isn't poverty more dangerous? And I had told you early on that I had not been as scared of coronavirus as I was of what the economy in America would look like in the midst of a shutdown or after a shutdown. And even though I'm afraid of coronavirus, I am afraid more of what's happening. So, from a medical standpoint, and this is why I want to ask you guys. I mean, what do you think is worse, coronavirus or poverty? 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So I had a patient two nights ago that had a breast lump. And I'm like, you know, when did you notice this breast lump? And they noticed it beginning March. And I'm like, okay, did you get in with the doctor? And they're like, no, of course not. Well, what do you mean, of course not? Well, I don't want to get coronavirus. Oh, was your doctor closed? No, my doctor wasn't closed. I don't want to get coronavirus. I'm like, okay, wait a second. We are on 2 months now of you having this mass. You know, I'm afraid of getting coronavirus. I'm like, okay, you have a breast mass. Now, maybe it's benign. And I get that. Coronavirus is scary. But I'm like, okay, all right. 2 months hopefully didn't do much. You know, in terms of its progression, if it was something, maybe it's benign. You know, I always try to be positive. I'm like, let's get you in. Let's get you in for mammogram, ultrasound. We got to go get you in with your regular doctor because I can't technically order those on telemedicine. Oh, no. I want to wait until Sisolak reopens. Now, Sisolak is my governor. We don't know when Governor Sisolak's going to reopen. He might not reopen until May 16th or June 1. Well, when he thinks it's safe, then I know I'm not going to get coronavirus. Okay, that's not the case. Okay, coronavirus is still going to be out there. Okay, we're not going to leave it up to a politician, and albeit he's doing, you know, what he can. I get it. But, I mean, you know, he's not God. All right? You know, when a politician says we could reopen or not, that doesn't mean you're not going to get sick or you're going to get sick. Okay? It's, you know, you have possibly breast cancer. Get checked out. Meanwhile, I'm hearing a bunch of urgent cares and doctor's offices are like, can you bring them down? We're dead. There's nobody here. And so this paranoia that has happened, and understandably so, coronavirus is scary. I'm seeing from a doctor's standpoint, a lot of issues out there. People are not getting their diabetes or their blood sugars in control. I had a person call me with high blood pressure. He was 210 over 1 something. I don't remember the bottom number. 210 was his systolic blood pressure. That's stroke range. I'm like, have you seen your doctor? No, I don't want to get coronavirus. All right, coronavirus can be bad, but it doesn't kill everybody. Strokes are more common. Your high blood pressure could give you a stroke and make you go blind. And so I almost see this you know, this shutdown and this pandemic starting to breed a whole new level of mortality. Now, what about poverty? Okay, I'm a doctor, so I can't really speak on economy as much as I'd like to. Okay, I'm, you know, people listen to me. I don't know why people listen to me, okay? You know, because I talk about farts, I talk about football. Maybe that's why you guys listen to me. But I talk about medicine. But what I'm seeing in terms of the hoarding, or in terms of the, I'm not leaving the house, yeah, I'm going to stay with my check, or people who can't get a check, can't get, you know, their unemployment benefits, can't get then their health benefits, can poverty be possibly more dangerous? Now, we talk about how poverty, you know, kills millions a year. You know, these pandemics, and we're going to talk about the different pandemics in the United States. On average, when we get a pandemic, we lose about 100,000 of us. We had a flu season a couple years ago that killed 80,000 of us, related deaths, all right? All right, when we get these flus, or when we get these pandemics, a bunch of us die. The only difference is with coronavirus, we shut the economy down. So the question is, would coronavirus have been more than all the other pandemics, and did we have to barter with our economic future for the next few years? And our other health, did we have to swap risk of stroke, risk of diabetes, risk of cancer for this coronavirus? Or would we have lost 100,000, unfortunately, like all the other pandemics seem to do to us, but still had salvaged our economy? I was interviewed on the Simon Conway show yesterday, and he was talking about how Woodstock in 1968 was still going on while we had the Hong Kong flu. There was the Asian flu in 57, and then the Hong Kong flu in 68. We lost about 100,000 people in both flus. Some people did not get the Hong Kong flu or even the swine flu, who had the Asian flu. There was some immunity conferred, but we still lost tons of people. The difference is the economy didn't get shattered. So I'm not biased towards one way or another, mind you. COVID is deadly, right? Poverty is deadly. But I'm wondering if the numbers of death and the numbers of cancer and the numbers of heart disease and the numbers of diabetes and whatever are actually going to add to a death toll that was from the poverty side or the shutdown side or the closing the economy side. So I want to hear from you. The 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Which do you think is worse, poverty or coronavirus? 1-877-DOCDALI. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm a bald person. Which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not-so-convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. life. From germ zapping hand sanitizer to immune building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids. 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30 count bottle of immune booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I gotta tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have like cold toes in the winter time, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Dr. Dolly Show, thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADALLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason and Daniel for working the dials. Big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. All right, just want to go through a little bit of history. Healthline does a nice little table here of the most dangerous epidemics in U.S. history. Taking this look back, I think I'll kind of put some things into perspective, okay? So back in 1633, 1634, we had smallpox. And smallpox came to North America roughly in the 1600s as Europe came. And, and we're not blaming the Europeans, okay? We like Europeans. Most of us have European blood, all right? Obviously, a lot of us came here from the Europeans. Some of us were here natively. And so whenever you introduce new microbiomes and new bacteria and viruses, things are going to happen. So people had fever, chills, back pain, rashes. Fortunately, This wiped out thousands. There were entire Native American tribes, we've been told, wiped out completely, killing 70% of the Native population. It wasn't their fault. They were just here. Newcomers came in. In 1721, 844 of the 5,800 Bostonians who had smallpox died from it. So that is a pretty high mortality rate. So Edward Jenner developed a vaccine from cowpox in 1770. Basically, it helped the body become immune to smallpox without causing the disease. So using cowpox helped people make an immunity to smallpox. Then there was a huge vaccination initiative in 1972. And a bunch of us have those marks on our shoulder from getting smallpox vaccines. I believe this was in the 60s and 70s. By 72, smallpox was, I believe, gone from the United States, and we don't even vaccinate for it anymore. In 1793, yellow fever came in. Yellow fever came from the Caribbean. People who were refugees from what was going on in the Caribbean during the 1700s brought yellow fever. That's where you get jaundice, so the skin looks yellow, you got fever, you vomiting blood. So 5,000 people died, 17,000 had to flee Philadelphia. And because it was the nation's capital and pretty busy port. So then a vaccine was developed, licensed in 1953. And now if you travel to high-risk areas, you get a yellow fever vaccine. Mosquitoes seem to spread them. We have been controlling yellow fever, but there is no cure. It's still out there. Now, cholera. Cholera came out. Well, cholera has been around for a while. But 1832 to 1866, we had a cholera epidemic. 2 to 6 Americans died per day during the outbreak. Then, by 1896, we had a Dr. Cole, a German scientist, developed the cholera vaccine. We still see cholera, Africa, Haiti, Southeast Asia, Mexico. We'll still see pandemics. In America, it had originated in India, and then first to feel the impact in the 1800s. So we don't know what ended. Maybe it was climate change. We're not sure. But the last outbreak of cholera, which causes horrible diarrhea and dehydration and death, ended in about 1911. So now we give antibiotics for it. We might supplement with zinc, get you hydration. Scarlet fever, 1858, we had an epidemic. They think 95% of people who got scarlet fever were kids. It's like strep throat. Fever, sore throat, rash, and we really didn't have a vaccine to prevent strep throat. Right now, what we do is we give antibiotics. And then Typhoid Mary. Typhoid Mary, that was in 1906 to 1907. That was an epidemic, one of the biggest. And it broke out between 1906 and 1907 in New York. Now, Typhoid Mary refers to Mary Mallon, according to Healthline. She apparently spread the virus to 122 New Yorkers while she was cooking on an estate and at a hospital unit. 5 of those 122 New Yorkers passed away from the virus. 10,000 people passed away from typhoid fever, from what we understand. I'm not exactly sure total numbers since then. But medical testing showed that she was a healthy carrier. Now, typhoid causes sickness, these red spots on the chest and abdomen. And again, we treat with antibiotics. But she was a carrier, got other people sick, which is why she's referred to as Typhoid Mary. We do have a vaccine. Antibiotic obviously came out in the 1940s. You could get it through infected people, food, water, etc. So if she didn't wash her hands, that's what happened. By 1918, we have the Spanish flu. We talked about this. This is a virus that didn't really come from Spain. This was already around the globe. And we noticed it came into ports in America after World War I ended. Now, this virus for the Spanish flu later came back as the Asian flu in the 50s. Now, with the Spanish flu in 1918, I believe we lost about 100,000 people. There were parades, things closed down, shut down. So they did do social distancing and had people wear masks. They did. Not to the degree that we did it now. We don't believe the economy crushed because, again, it was after World War One, so things, you know, started to pick up for the Roaring Twenties. But unfortunately, we're being told that this might have actually spawned the rise of Nazism. So that's an interesting story we'll talk about later. Then in America, we had diphtheria. From 1921 to 1925. This causes swelling of the mucous membranes, throat, can hurt your breathing, swallowing, and then a bacterial toxin could get into your system and cause heart damage, nerve damage. So we had a vaccine by the 20s, and then by the mid-20s, and so cases started to drop. Now the majority of us get our diphtheria shot with our tetanus and our pertussis. Okay, then we had polio. Polio started out roughly in about 1916, and we would see thousands die, or if they didn't die, they would get paralysis. Kids would go to bed, give their moms and dads kisses goodnight, wake up not being able to walk the next day. So Jonas Salk had developed a vaccine. By 1962, the average number of cases dropped from like 57,000 to 910. The CDC says the U.S. has been polio-free since 1979. Now, we had the Asian flu in 57. We had the Asian flu was similar to the Spanish flu, and then we had the Hong Kong flu. The Hong Kong flu was in 1968, killed about 100,000 Americans as well. But we found that some people who got the Asian flu seemed to be protected against then the Hong Kong flu that came 10 years later. Now, somebody had asked me, do we get a pandemic every 10 years? Well, it's hard to say because we get hit with flu every year. And to me, that's a flu pandemic. But as you see, as we're going through the timeline, whether it's typhus, whether it's diphtheria, whether it's Asian flu, whether it's Hong Kong flu, whether it's Spanish flu, it looks like every decade or so something hits us. Now, measles came out, again, 81 to 91. So measles, that causes fever, runny nose, cough, red eyes, sore throat. All right, we start to see a bunch of cases return. So even though we had a vaccine back from 1963, in this decade, in the 80s, they decided, you know what, let's give you a booster. So that's why now kids have boosters. Then we had other measles outbreaks, even in those who were vaccinated, and now we're thinking we need like a third booster. Then in 1993, there was contaminated water in Milwaukee. Apparently, there was a cryptosporidium outbreak in 1993. Dehydration, fever, cramps. 400,000 people got sick. 100 people died. This was the largest waterborne outbreak in the U.S. history. So we had to improve water filtrations, etc. And cryptosporidium spread through soil, food, water, contact with infected feces, peeing and pooping in the pool and drinking it. So you got to be careful. Whooping cough had a couple resurgence. Remember in 2010, 2014, 10 infants died during the first outbreak, so we had to do boosters for that. HIV had, since 1980, had infected over 1.2 million people, according to Healthline. The death rate has been dropping, luckily, but we've been having these different epidemics or pandemics throughout our lifetime. So what's the difference between this and coronavirus? Coronavirus, still no vaccine, no cure. So the reason why, you know, unfortunately these vaccines happen is because it gets us off our butt to start, unfortunately, making, you know, medications, making vaccines. And now we're working on a corona vaccine. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, we're working on trying to find treatments. You know, we're trying to work on building new hospitals and figuring out how to do social distancing and how to. There will be some good to come of this. I promise there will be some good to come of this. It's just, did we have to completely shut down the whole economy when we didn't previously? 1-877-DOCTOR-DOLLY, don't go away.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump has denied it, and now Secretary of State Mike Pompeo also says that the U.S. government was not at all involved in an apparent attempted coup in Venezuela, which led to the capture of two Americans. Speaking at the State Department, Pompeo says the department is not prepared to share further information on who bankrolled the attempted coup, and he said they will start the investigation process and use every tool available to get the two Americans back if, in fact, they have been captured. New York City's Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city will create 10 working groups called sector advisory councils to help develop a blueprint for restarting the economy. And one of the groups will be comprised of small business owners.
We need them because they're so much of what makes New York City great. We need them because it's actually where a huge percentage of employment is in this city.
USA Radio News. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg in a Baltimore hospital with an infection caused by a gallstone, but the Supreme Court says she's expected to be released within the next couple of days. April saw the worst job losses in the history of the just-released ADP private payrolls report. 20.2 million jobs lost last month because of the pandemic. Republican U.S. Senator Rand Paul is criticizing current stimulus spending during the coronavirus pandemic.
The $3 trillion that we've already passed out is imaginary money. It's being borrowed basically from China. So the irony is we got the virus from China, and now we're going to be more dependent by borrowing more money from China.
The Kentucky senator making his comments on Fox News, saying the economic calamity will only continue if people are forced to stay home. Paul's the only known senator to test positive for COVID-19. He says he can't get the virus again, and he can't give it to anybody, so he's refusing to wear a mask. This is USA Radio News.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Maybe, maybe you'll turn back to me when I tell you you're just so pretty.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So many of you have asked me to comment on this video that's circulating. I'm not sure if her name is Nicole Sirotek. I need to find out what her name is. I think her name is Nicole. And it was a very, very emotional video where she is sitting in a New York City hospital and reporting to us. Her video has over 200,000 views now. She is reporting that this hospital is killing people and not killing them with COVID. They're just killing people. So obviously people are scared, and they asked me, what do I think? So I saw, I didn't see the whole 25 minutes. So I saw a 7-8 minute clip of it and some of the things she was saying. And again, first, my heart goes out to all nurses out there and first responders. It's got to be hard. It is. I mean, you get drained being in the hospital. I've been there. It's seeing people die, seeing people alive one second and dead the next second. It is not easy. So she looked stressed and appropriately so. She was crying for part of it. It was very, very tearful. But some of the things she said really concerned a lot of us. All right. One thing she said was there was a doctor who somebody put an NG tube. The NG tube is to feed somebody. So you go through the nose, into the esophagus, into the stomach, and that they put it into the lung. So they were feeding the lung. She also reported that a resident was doing CPR on somebody who was bradycardic, who had a 40 beat per minute pulse, and then did paddles on him and killed him with paddles. Now, the average resident knows not to do that, so I'm not sure why that happened or what she saw. But she said it happened. She was saying that people are intubated incorrectly, that somebody needed blood. They wouldn't give him blood because he wasn't actively bleeding, even though he might have been going into some sort of hemolysis where, you know, he didn't have enough blood, and unfortunately, he ended up dying. So she talks about all these people, and she says when she goes in, you know, she's watching this hospital kill people, and then at the end, she tells people to not go to this hospital. It's a hospital in New York City. And so, you know, people ask me the real scoop, okay? Does this really, really happen? So listen, I've worked in hospitals for many years, not actively working in one, and I'm going to tell you, mistakes happen. Of course mistakes happen. The funny thing is the worst mistakes weren't really the students or the residents. The worst mistakes were some of the attendings. They relied on somebody else, they might have gotten lazy, whatever, but I never really saw a lot of people die from these mistakes. They would be like, okay, whoa, which leg are we doing? We're doing this leg. Okay, guys, get the leg right. And then thank God they operated on the right leg. Or you'd see somebody fall asleep while they were doing the anesthesia, and somebody's like, doctor, wake up, you know, so they'd wake them up. So, yeah, I mean, a hospital is going to be just like, you know, a grocery store, just like you're going to have people that make mistakes. And I have no problem, you know, telling you guys the truth. I'm not here to sit here and tell you everybody's perfect. I'm not supposed to lie. People are perfect. All right. But what I think might have happened with this NYC hospital, which I think we all could kind of agree on, is among the chaos of this, oh, coronavirus panic, everybody's dying of coronavirus, oh my God, you started to have people not follow basic protocol, not follow basic common sense. And, you know, I've never been in a, you know, military operation where you're out there on the field and people are dying and you have to triage and you got to just do what you can. I've never been in that position. And I can understand that if you are in a war zone, and many of these hospitals, compared where they were to a war zone, you're going to have to triage. You're going to have to pick and choose. And maybe some mistakes might happen because, you know, gunfire is coming at you and you're trying to dodge bullets and all that. But when you do have a scene or a setting where people are coming in respiratory distress, you are supposed to take a deep breath before you intubate them. If you are going to do a procedure, you're allowed to take a deep breath. All right. I mean, I was an ER doc. Everybody thinks you don't have time. You know, if you need to do the right TPA course or, you know, perform. Yeah, when you perform a code, you need to jump in. But you are allowed to take a second to take a deep breath. You don't just start spewing out and then not thinking. It's calculated. And you're well trained and you calm down and you remain calm and you remain calm. You do what needs to be trained or how you were trained. So when you start to hear somebody's doing CPR on somebody who had a steady rhythm, even though he was bradycardic and low, or somebody's intubating the wrong bronchi, or I don't know, or NG tubing a bronchus, and all the other stuff she was saying, you start to wonder, okay, where was management? What was the scene like? Why was it so chaotic and looking like a battlefield. Because that's when mistakes happen. Now, New York City appears to not have as many hospitals. It does not appear to have as many beds, and they seemed overwhelmed. That was what we got. And then when help came, looks like they really didn't need the extra boat and ships and things like that. So thank God they're starting to get more beds available, and you know, but it to me means people were so freaked out about the chaos and the panic and, you know, and oh my gosh, you know, we don't have enough PPE and we don't, take a deep breath. You know, it's interesting. I never had PPE throughout all my years of working with patients. We need PPE, we do. I never wore that N95 respirator with a valve. I'm like, the valve allows pathogens. I like the ones without the valve. And by the way, now they're saying, guys, the valve might not be as good as the one without the valve. But I wore this. I wore gloves. I might have worn a gown so I wouldn't get blood on me or whatever. And I wore a basic mask. And if I delivered a baby, I'd wear a shield. But in my office, all I had was this for years. Maybe I was lucky. Maybe I had a good immune system. So through swine flu, through deadly flu pandemics, through tuberculosis, through MRSA, this is what I had. And we're hearing people panic that they don't want to go back to working in a restaurant. They don't want to go back to working in a salon because they don't have PPE. We need to calm down the panic. My guess is what happened at NYC, in that New York City hospital, if that nurse is telling us exactly the truth, is it what... Either people panicked and they lost their mind or lost their poop, or they recruited people that had no training, didn't take a second to train them or watch them or whatever, and it was chaos. And so this whole coronavirus approach has been Fauda. If I don't know if you guys watch the show Fauda, but it's chaos. Fauda is the Arabic word for chaos. And it, you know, I wonder if it really had to be like that. That's why people are so frustrated with this whole economic, you know, cluster. We shut down everything. We're now requiring everybody wearing masks. Now on airplanes, they're going to not seat the middle seat, so people get to sit, you know, either aisle or window. Everybody's happy about that, but I'm like, that's still not 6 feet. If somebody's sick in a plane, someone's not on your middle seat, you're still going to get sick. And we're doing all this chaotic, knee-jerk reflexing. We need to close this down. We can't let people go back to work. You have to have PPE. If you don't have PPE, throw masks on and these N95 respirators that have a valve. And it's just, it's, yeah, I think we're going to lose more people in the process. And I don't know if we had to have all that hype. I said this when we opened the show. When I have a patient with a breast mass that could be cancerous, not wanting to go in and take care of cancer because they're afraid of coronavirus, we're screwing up. Coronavirus is deadly, but it's not, you know, are we going to pick, you know, are we going to say, all right, guys, so you don't get coronavirus, get the cancer? We got to slow our roll, pump the brakes, and calm the chaos. 1-877-DOCTOR-ALLY, don't go away.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing, then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow, I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. You just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA. 1-877-DOCDALI. You know, we're talking about, people getting plasma to prevent coronavirus. And, you know, if somebody had coronavirus, give me their blood. I want to survive coronavirus. Honestly, people, you want to get whatever Ruth Bader Ginsburg has. I got to tell you, because she's 87 years old. And she is still kicking. You know, she's back in the hospital. But she's working today. She's 87 years old. The Supreme Court's oldest justice. Four-time cancer survivor. is currently at Johns Hopkins Hospital because she's recovering from acute cholecystitis. It's a benign gallbladder condition. So basically, she had a gallstone, and the gallstone, I think, got stuck in her cystic duct. I put this in an article for you so you guys could see what the liver looks like and the cystic duct, not her particular liver, but what a bile duct looks like and cystic duct and things like that. So apparently she had a gallstone and she had an infection. So she had to go to the hospital. She went to Johns Hopkins to have a procedure taken care of. I don't know if her gallbladder was completely removed, but what was very interesting, though, which I'm kind of intrigued about, is how she had a stent put in last year. Remember, back in July, she had pancreatic cancer treatment again. And so a biopsy was done at Sloan Kettering. She had a malignant tumor. And as part of her treatment, they put in a bile duct stent. So I'm a little intrigued by what happened here. Was this just a run-of-the-mill gallbladder attack, or does this have something to do with her cancer? Now, back then, she had tolerated the procedure well. She had, the year before, remember, fallen and broken a couple ribs, and then we were told she had two cancerous nodules in her lungs, so we think those were, occult fractures or fractures, pathogenic fractures where it was a weakness from the cancer. But she underwent treatment, was fine there too. She had a part of her lung removed at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and prior to that, she had battled colon cancer. So we were told last night that she was going to be still working, right, and participating, quote, in the oral argument teleconference tomorrow remotely from the hospital. And apparently she, not only is she working, she's already criticized the Trump administration's rule for exempting employers with religious or moral objections from providing cost-free insurance coverage contraceptives in unusually sharp terms. So she is still, she's at it. A lot of people think she's dead, that somebody pulled a Kim Jong-un. No, that's her. And I don't even think it's a body double. I think it's really her, guys. So, she apparently had gotten medical care Monday after the first day of oral arguments. And she had some outpatient tests at the Sibley Memorial Hospital. So there was a gallstone blocking her cystic duct. So when your gallbladder makes, actually the liver makes bile. And the bile, liver makes 24/7. And that bile is supposed to digest food. I'm actually surprised she still had her gallbladder having pancreatic cancer. I'm surprised they still kept that gallbladder in there. A lot of times they take it out. But, oh. So anyway, the liver, since it makes bile 24/7, has to store somewhere. Because you don't eat 24/7. So the gallbladder holds that storage. Sometimes certain variables can make stones. Sometimes, if you have higher cholesterol or higher certain salts, you can make stones. And the stones shouldn't really bother you if they sit in the gallbladder. But then you have something to eat. When you have something to eat, that gallbladder has to squirt bile down the duct in order to get to the pancreas, down the cystic duct to get to the pancreas. And so if there's a stone and the gallbladder contracts, that stone might pop forward. Did you guys ever play that game where there was stuff in water and you kind of squeezed on the bottom and then a ball would come up and you would try to get the ball in the hoop? That kind of thing. So when the gallbladder got squeezed, if you have a gallstone, starts coming up. Sometimes the smaller stones are worse than the bigger stones. The bigger stones are too big to sneak out of the gallbladder. But a smaller stone does. And then, if it gets stuck, now you could get an infection. You could get back pressure, etc. So, a lot of people have gallbladder issues. We remove the gallbladder and they usually do fine. But she has had one health scare after another. And she had been nominated back in 1994 by President Bill Clinton. And so people are watching her health very closely. She is probably one of the most watched people now by both sides. It's a shame it has to be like that. if she passes, the Republicans get to nominate, well, probably not this year, another Supreme Court justice. If she passes, God forbid, the Democrats are hoping she doesn't and can last until a Democrat gets back into the White House. And, you know, so, you know, I wish her well, okay? She's a human being. I might not agree with the way she votes, you know, but she is a human being. But I tell you, whenever there's a Ruth Bader Ginsburg story, people are all up in that. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALIR. Let's give you the latest numbers on coronavirus. As of now, we have 3.7 million cases, 261,000 deaths. USA still topping the list at 1.2 million cases. We've been doing a damn good job of testing. We've, you know, have more tests. We also have higher populations than these other places. Unfortunately, our death toll has risen to 72,800. Spain has 253,000 cases, 25,000 deaths. Italy, 214,000 cases, 29,000 deaths. The UK, 201,000 cases, 30,000 deaths. France, 170,000 cases, 25,000 deaths. People want to know how many serious critical condition patients do we have currently right now in the USA. Assuming this is only COVID-related, we have 16,000. Now, I don't know if that also includes somebody with pneumonia. Somebody might have had coronavirus and then went into sepsis, which is a blood bacterial infection, or had a heart attack. We don't know. But right now, 16,000 people are in serious condition. When you look at countries that are doing pretty well, Saudi Arabia appears to be doing well. Only 209 deaths from coronavirus, that is. We have to trust the numbers they report. Chile, 281 deaths, 23,000 cases. Singapore, 20 deaths, 20,000 cases. Israel, 238 deaths, 16,000 cases. You know, we are watching the southern hemisphere. You know, South Africa has 148 cases, 7,500 deaths. We're not seeing a lot of movement in South Africa, but then again, southern hemisphere. So we're watching this very closely, because if the southern hemisphere gets inundated with this, I mean, it's interesting. SARS in 2002, 2003 went away by the end of May. And then we called the pandemic over by July. We didn't really see SARS go into the southern hemispheres and propagate. We are hoping this coronavirus doesn't do that either. But we're watching very closely. Then when we look at the individual states, obviously New York is the brunt of these cases, 330,000 with 25,000 deaths. New Jersey has 131,000 cases with 8,200 deaths. Massachusetts, 70,000 cases, 4,200 deaths. Illinois, 65,000 cases, 2,800 deaths. And California, 58,000 cases with 2,300 deaths. Now, Pennsylvania and Michigan have more deaths, but this is being rated by cases. The Texas has started to reopen. Georgia, multiple states have reopened. People want to know why, if we still have death tolls. I mean, in Nevada, we haven't reopened. Our death toll, I believe we haven't had any new deaths, knock on wood, right about 276 total with 5,500 cases. But there's this push, obviously, between, you know, are we going to live? Are we going to let people get to the dentist? Are we going to let people take care of the cancer? Are we going to let people eat? Are we going to let people live? So we're watching very closely if there's any rebounds. 1-877-DOCDALI, don't go away.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.